Hello and welcome back again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the support and the funds that are earned at the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there my wife and I own and operate the business in an effort to put these teachings into your ears. And so we are a self-supported ministry, and you could support these verse-by-verse Bible teachings by simply coming by the Wash and Word and letting us work to earn the money to support this ministry and our family. We adhere and we live by the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so we wash cars for the glory of God to get these sermons and these Bible teachings out to you. You can hear them on WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. You can go to the washandword.com website. There you can listen and download to these messages and find out all you need about the business and about the ministry. So that's washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Let's pick it up where we left off. We read verses 4 through 16 in our last teaching, and we are in the section of the Gospel of John, chapter 19, where Pilate is trying to get Jesus freed, but because of his fear of of the crowd and his fear of damaging his own track record, as it were, he's failing the test. You know, God has given him every opportunity to set the son free, but we know that this is God's plan, and you know, Pilate is being used to further Jesus's crucifixion. But the shame of it all is that he has a chance, but fear has held him back. And we ended in our last message talking about how we at times in our own lives tend to represent our Savior in a negative way. And it's not always about what we say or don't, or what we do with our hands. Sometimes it's about what we don't say or what we don't do. And we have to remember that as a witness for Christ, sometimes we have to stand up against the things that the world is saying that are okay. And there are other times where if we don't stand up against these things, we're sinning just as well. And we ended by talking about James 4:17, which says anyone that does or that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And that led to Edmund Burke's famous line where he said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. So let us not fall victim to being good men and women of Christ and yet do nothing. Pilate is doing nothing here. He has the power to do something, but sometimes our mindset is if we do nothing, we are not condemning or convicting ourselves. But it is clear through scripture that sometimes doing nothing is an equally disturbing sin as doing something against Christ. So we've all been guilty of throwing Jesus under the bus in some way or another. And listen, the problem with compromising with the world or remaining quiet when we should be speaking up, when we see an injustice, or we see the immorality that is being forced into our children, when we see the atrocities that are on display, or even in our churches nationwide, we're seeing almost an atrocity of the Word of God being taught in such a watered-down version, in such a minute scale. We see all this stuff taking place. We see the gospel being presented in such a light manner so that we can appease all religions and all faiths, almost like a politician trying to appease everybody. Jesus didn't come so that everybody can get along. He came to divide right from wrong, true Christians from non. And when you try to please all faiths and all religions and all people and all cultures, all that ends up doing is creating a greater separation. And it does not accomplish the goal. Listen, the Bible is clear. The goal of a Christian is to be separated, to be called out. We are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. We are supposed to be different. We are supposed to look peculiar. We are not supposed to blend with the world. We are supposed to be different, and they are supposed to see a difference the moment they encounter the true Christianity within us. And in verse 6, we see the one of the scariest things in the world, and that is a mob mentality. When entire societies work themselves up into a mob mentality and they're screaming, "Crucify, crucify, do it, do it." You know, even Pilate, the ruler, had trouble against mob mentality. It is a scary and powerful opposition to come against. But listen, the moment you compromise Jesus, you have stripped away your ability to represent him properly. Let me say that again. The moment you compromise Jesus, you strip away your ability to represent him properly. Come on, we've all been there. You have a choice to make. You're being tempted. You know, maybe it's an inner voice, or, you know, the classic devil pops up on your shoulder and is whispering in your ear, or some kind of fleshly uprising that's telling you to go and look at that website or go and perform that particular immorality. And, you know, we get there, and the moment we compromise, we are compromising Jesus, and then we are unable to represent him properly. Pilate has attempted to free Jesus, and he did so by having him flogged to appease the worldly crowd. And that is no different than our attempts to compromise Jesus by making him more appealing to a worldly crowd. And this is what has happened over the course of decades. We as a church, as pastors, as Christians, as teachers, as leaders, we have tried to compromise the gospel and God's entire word by making it more appealing to a worldly crowd, thinking that we will be drawing more people in so that they can hear the words of God. Now, I understand the mindset and the motive behind it, but the method is an atrocity. We have to be identified as different. We as Christians or as churches have to be identified as peculiar. We were never called to compromise with the world. We were never called to compromise Jesus and take the gospel and water it down. We were never called to take God's word and cherry pick the good parts for the sake of bringing in the worldly crowd. That was never the attempt and the goal of the early church. And the cross is no ordinary historical feature. Let me tell you a few things about the cross. First of all, the cross of Christ, it divides. Do you understand? Jesus didn't come to bring the world together in peace and harmony. He came to divide the world. And that's what he's doing today. He wants to know who are his true disciples. Who is going to stand up for truth in a world that is crashing against absolute moral truth that we find in the Bible? Matthew 10:34 says, Jesus said, "I do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And friends, what does a sword do? A sword divides, it cuts, it splits. The cross came to divide. It divided the Old Testament from the New Testament. It divided law from grace. It divided saved from unsaved. Even while he hung there on the cross, he divided two criminals, each there to show you that the cross was a division between the two. One accepted Jesus, one continued to not. The cross divides and separates heaven from hell. And I'm asking you to stand firm upon the truth about Jesus and the truth about God's entire word. The time to be unbendable is now. The attack upon morality is on the rise. And if we bend now, we will actually weaken our credibility. We will strip away our ability to represent Jesus properly. Compromise now, and we weaken our effectiveness. Better they go away hating you completely than approving of you and still not truly knowing Jesus. Your attempts to make Jesus better tasting in an effort to convert, though sounds noble on paper, I assure you it's not helping anyone. God made it clear to Pilate that he is swimming in shark-infested waters and that this is no ordinary man. When Pilate heard this in verse 8, it says he was even more afraid. So Pilate heard about Jesus for the first time here. He said that they replied, he is the Son of God. That's what he claims to be. And he got afraid. Now remember, Pilate was a polytheist. He believed in many gods. But he knew that the one true doctrine, the one true God of the Jews, the Yahweh, he knew enough to be afraid when he heard this. Why? Because he just got hit with the realization that he is not standing in the gap for a man on trial, but he is standing in the gap for something far greater. And all of a sudden, this Jesus has been presented to Pilate in a way that Pilate could no longer avoid. We need to present Jesus in such a way that people are forced to address his existence and purpose. We do that by not being afraid of the public tide that yells, crucify, crucify, or in today's world will yell something to the form of abortion, abortion, or homosexuality, homosexuality, or stem cell research. Presenting Jesus in a way that forces them to make a decision. You either go to him or you run from him. You don't have to bow to him, but you are forced to make a decision about the ultimate question that was posed by Pilate himself. What is truth? Because knowledge about Jesus that is obtained should send people back to Jesus for confirmation. We should be presenting God and his word and Christ to people that should send them back to Jesus for confirmation. At least go in to explore the option that we're giving them, which is what Pilate does. He goes back to Jesus after being presented for the first time that he's dealing with the Son of God. He goes back to Jesus for a follow-up question. And that is how we should be doing it with the world today. Not bowing down and melding the world with the church and God's word and bending it so it fits in with the world. No, we should be presenting it in a way that is bold and truthful so that people for the first time may truly understand what they're being forced to deal with, what they're being faced with, and that is the cross, which is dividing the line between their decision and what God has initiated. In verses 9 through 11, we'll reread that. When Pilate went back, he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Do you realize I have the power to either free you or crucify you? And of course, Jesus answered, you would not have any power over me if it weren't given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. So, having been confronted with the knowledge that Pilate is now dealing with the Son of God, he goes back in for confirmation. And that is what we are to do when we present the Bible on a Sunday morning pulpit, or we present it to our fellow workers, or wherever it is we present it. It should force people to go back to Jesus for confirmation. Because God's ultimate power over all things is a benefit, not a detriment. It amazes me that people think that God's active hand in the world is actually holding them back. God placed Pilate in this position. Jesus said, you would have no power if it were not given to you. God put him there, and now he is supposed to use that power for good. I think the reason people are afraid to come to the cross, because the closer we draw to the cross, the more of ourselves get revealed. And people do not want to know what is truly residing in us. There's nothing pretty about the revelation of our true selves. Pilate made his choice, and he disappears from the annals of history, indicative of the choice that he made. So friends, let us make the tough decision to preach God's word in all of its fullness, to preach the truth of Jesus no matter how hard it is. Stop compromising and conforming the church and the Bible into the world. It does nothing but make things worse and lessen your credibility. All right, that's the end of our sermon for today. You can go to washandword.com for more information about this business or ministry. Have a blessed day.